I'd appreciate your prayers.
Yes.
I'd like to talk about the subject I put on the board, earthen vessels. And I do desire your prayers. I feel like the Lord dropped a thought in on me this morning. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, I'll pick it up about the 6th verse. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I've never really had the thought that I seem to be come to my mind today about this. I always just simply thought about the idea of an earthen vessel as simply just this body of clay. This talking about that we are of earth, and that there is, a special blessing of God, and He uses us. We say many times that we speak through the mouth of clay, and we use that idea from a minister ministering. It's like that. But I feel like the Lord really inspired something much more than that to me today with this idea of an earthen vessel. So I'd like to deal with it a little bit. I was thinking about the in the Old Testament, if you read where God had the in the days of Moses built the tabernacle. Now I believe that the tabernacle has a lot of significance to it. Imagery. It had a lot of symbolism in it. It meant something. And I believe that it represents, to a large degree, Christ Himself. That tabernacle, and the way it was constructed and the way God had Him to do it, there was something about that spoke of Christ Himself. And also, with that, I believe you could also say that it largely speaks to the body of Christ. That tabernacle, that old tabernacle, represented in such a vivid way the church of God. Thus, then it also represents very strongly the individual Christian experience. So I believe that it has all of that represented in it. And when God told him to make it, it was so detailed, wasn't it? I mean, God wanted things so long, so wide. He wanted them fastened a certain way. He wanted it constructed in a certain way. And if you notice that one of the most prominent ideas that the Lord gave the old tabernacle was the fact that all of its beauty was inward.
That's right.
Yeah. It had looking at it from outside, I think it was badger skins don't sound very appealing to the eye to look at it, but what they put on the outside of it was extremely durable. It was tough. It was plain. It didn't draw much attention. There was no flash. It was nothing like that. Really, there was nothing to look at it that would make you think that really there was much inside. You wouldn't have thought there was maybe necessarily there was anything inside there. It didn't demonstrate of fineness in, did it? I mean, none of those things exhibited in it. But yet inside of it, there was vessels of gold. And there was things that was fine-tuned about its construction. It had, best I remember, it had tapestries. Fine tapestries of color, and it must have just been superb. To what it was in the inside of that must have just been absolutely superb. But on the outside of it, it didn't have much. And isn't that a representation of Christ himself? I mean, I think it is what the 53rd of Isaiah, the prophecy of the Lord, it says things like in there that he wasn't, he had no form of comeliness. You wouldn't have looked at him and said, now there's King. Now let's get him. I mean, this is Hollywood stuff. It's almost like, I think it said form or comeliness. So it kind of gives you the idea that his stature, his very stature wasn't one that was to draw the flesh to. And his facial appearance, I'm surmising a lot, but the scripture brings that out, that he had no comeliness about him. You wouldn't have, in the flesh, you wouldn't have even thought about it. And as an amazing side point, the scripture never describes him, other than that's about the only passage of scripture that gives us any indication of the physical nature of Christ. You ever think about it? And it's because the Lord didn't want us to hang up on the physical aspects of this man. That's not what he was. He wanted us to take the very nature of Christ, the inside of Christ, what he stood for. Maybe he wasn't especially appealing just to see this man. But when he spoke, no man spoke like him. He spoke with the authority of heaven on him. He had a power of a presence about him that come from his inside. So when I look at that, I think about how descriptive that is to my mind, and what God is looking for and calling for. Now this scripture says, here in Corinthians, it says that, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. There's a story that's connected with this. I read somewhere. There was an old sage of some kind, an old rabbi of some kind, who was deformed. He was not appealing to the eye. He was old, decrepit, nothing appealing about him. But he had great understandings, deep understandings of things. And he was contacted or confronted by the king's daughter. And the king's daughter recognizes that this is a man of great understandings and wisdoms in him. And she wonders, how does a decrepit, this decrepit old man, I mean, how, there's no comeliness in him, no appeal to him. How does this man have this character about him, when it's such a pouring thing? It's something that you're not drawn to. And he says to the king's daughter, what kind of vessels do you keep your wine in? And she said, earthen vessels. And he said, well, surely a woman of your stature, a woman of your wealth and of your influence, surely you could put them in your wine in something much better than an earthen vessel. You could put it in pots of silver. You why would you use the common man's earthen vessels? Why would you do that when you could have the finest? And so she thinks about that. Wow, that's so true. And she goes to the king and says, you know, can we put this in there? This is a common. Can we put it in the silver? And so they transfer their wine into the silver vessels, and it turns acid. Well, you could say vinegar. It ruined the quality of the wine. Well, the king's upset, and he calls for the man. You give this advice? you give this advice? Oh, he said, how hard it is for the comely, the proud, to keep the treasure. I think this scripture might mean more than just there's an earthen vessel. Because the world's full of our earthen vessels. We've all got an earthen vessel. But there isn't treasure in all. If you look at it from that way. But truly, God only puts the treasure in an earthen vessel. He puts it in something that can make it look. An earthen vessel is just a pot made by the master's hand, very well constructed, but it's not dramatic. It's not appealing. It's not shines and the light hits it a certain way. It doesn't seem to have a great worth or value to it. You know, it has almost no value to it except for what's inside it. It's what inside it that makes it worth anything. They're a dime a dozen. You can make these things. These things can be made. But what's valuable about this is what's inside of it. And to be able to maintain what the Lord has us, do you know it takes an earthen vessel? It doesn't take the pomp and show of this world. As a matter of fact, the pomp and this show that tries to keep it always loses it. And all the movements that goes down the line of pomp and show, even though it might be mega and be blasting to the world, it loses the treasure of the vessel. It doesn't really have what's valuable and right in it. Now, Brother Ivan, I believe it was today, mentioned John the Baptist. John the Baptist, to me, was the epitome of the earthen vessel. Well, you know what character John the Baptist had? He was not proud, and he showed no vanity. He showed singleness of purpose for what he was called to do and what he was called to be. Jesus said of him himself, these words would be hard to ever dispute in the scriptural context, who's the greatest of all. Jesus said, John, among men born of woman, there is no greater than John the Baptist. How did he attain that? He attained it through humility. When it come down, John the Baptist, who could have been lifted and exalted by the popularity that he had, he said, I am not worthy to loose the one that's come. I'm not worthy to loose these. I can't loose these shoes. I must decrease, he said. I have had my element. I've been in my time. The Lord has used me. I've come to the end of that, and now I'm not hanging on to it, doing that. I must decrease my importance, my value. I'm only pointing to the one that's supposed to come. He humbled himself in that situation, and I think Jesus said of John, did he not? What did you go out to the wilderness to see? Someone in fancy clothes? Did you go out to look? What did he wear? Camel hair. What did he? I mean, that sounds abrasive and rough, and it doesn't sound like it shines. It wasn't nothing wound in it or shined in it. He wasn't supposing himself to be in the king's court. He wasn't fancy. He was an earthen vessel. John was the description of the earthen vessel. He held the treasure. He kept the treasure in his lifetime. And he showed and exhibited these things. What did you go out to see? A reed shaking in the wind? What did you go out to see when you looked at this man? What was you going out to see about him? I'm telling you, there's no greater than him. He humbled himself down. He didn't show the earthly vanities. He didn't have the desire. And when it come time for him to speak the word of truth, the valuable things, even though his life was on the line for it, he told Herod, you can't have your brother's wife. That is not right. And he stood there on that truth. I'm going to tell you, that's an earthen vessel. That's importance means nothing. The world means nothing. Being lifted up means nothing. Having fine clothes means nothing. Riding a fancy car means nothing. Big houses mean nothing. Nothing. None of this is this. This is the earthen vessel. And the scripture says that we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. And if you take what the Lord has given us in this earthen vessel and you start changing the quality of that vessel, you're going to turn acid. You're going to lose. You're going to lose the quality. Thus goes the whole. This is the what Christ showed us. This is what the church is to be. We are to be beautiful with a treasure inside. That's what we're to be. We're to demonstrate modesty on the outside, humbleness on the outside, lowliness on the outside. We aren't to take the high position among people. We're supposed to be the ones that humble themselves. I remember years ago, I worked for a guy, and we was buddies and going to service together and all that, and he hadn't been saved long, and we got another guy to work for us, and he didn't know much about us. And I remember the guy's comment, the guy that came to work for us, a comment when we was out, and there was a known old guy in the area. His name was Bruce. He was an old man, and he chewed tobacco. And he was never in clean clothes. And the tobacco juice he tried to spit, he didn't get it very far most of the time. And a lot of times it would be a couple week old stained tobacco shirt down his front, and he was always kind of dirty. And I never seen this man with a beard, or never seen him shaved. You know what I'm saying. He was there was always tobacco juice down the sides of his mouth and down his shirt. This was this old guy. And we come up to this old guy, and this guy, this other man I'm telling you about, had been from a Christian family and a Christian all of his life. And I remember the comment that he said to me. He said he was shocked. But my boss and the guy he's worked with, he come up to Bruce and greeted Bruce, and Bruce's shoe was untied, and he bent down and tied Bruce's shoe for him. And I remember what this man said about that. He said that was the most Christ-like thing I believe I ever saw. It something registered with him about something that's valuable. Here was a man that most people didn't even want to look at. And you definitely didn't want to be too close. And I didn't describe all of the factors that would go with this guy if you got very close to him. But when he knelt down in servitude, don't you think you can see Jesus doing that? Don't you think you can see Jesus trying to say something to a person that you're valuable to me? Let me help you along life. He couldn't get down hardly and tie his shoe, so he got down and tied that shoe. He said this treasure is going to be in earthen vessels. I think this is the idea that was being demonstrated here, that this is an earthen vessel. This is something that doesn't bring attention to itself on the outside. It's never looked at, and when you have to, you set it aside. You don't have to jump up and be the one. You can be the one that takes the back place. And it's going to be, this is what I see as I looked at this scripture. I thought, there's more to this than just being a human. Talking about a human thing here. He's talking about something that is made by the Master to hold the treasure. So how does the Lord accomplish making such a vessel? Well, we ain't exactly by nature that vessel. We're by nature a human piece of clay, but we're not by nature this vessel that can hold the things that God wants it to hold. And so this scripture kind of says it. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Why does it take an earthen vessel? Because it's the power of God and not of us. And the conflict that happens, that ruins the treasure, is that when we begin to be the ones, or that we have a certain element about us, we puff ourselves up, or we want to be silver, we want to shine, we want to do that, it acids the product, and it changes it. And he says, we are troubled on every side. Oh, Paul, I've always scratched my head at this in a way. I think I understand it, but it's always been amazing. you some people would think in the nature of Paul the apostle and going forth spreading the gospel, and the way humans think is that he was doing the work of the Lord to the capacity that he shouldn't even had to try to open the door. The door should have opened for him before he even got to it, the apostle Paul. And yet he got to the door and it wasn't open. And it wouldn't open. And he had to pound on it. He had to beat it with his hand. You had to get to it. He says that the apostle Paul got to treasure in earthen vessels. But how does it say earthen vessel? By the trouble, being troubled every side. The silver's going to tarnish. The silver ain't going to work. He's going to take an earthen vessel. The more he works with it, the more earthen it gets, the better it gets. And the more, you know what God tries to do in most of the time in our lives when we ain't even recognizing it? He's trying to make a vessel for the good things of God. He's working with us through the trouble on every side. You ever been in a place that you felt this? I think everybody probably has said, everywhere, trouble everywhere. Well, he said, I can't do anything. Every time I turn, there's an obstacle in my way. What did Paul need to do? Every time when he run up against something that Paul couldn't handle, Paul was an intelligent man. He wasn't a lackluster guy. He had intelligence. He knew the way the things work. And yet he would run up against things that he would have to say, as he did in Philippians, I count this all, my education, every this isn't an earthen vessel. My work, my labors, all the things I do, that ain't the earthen vessel. That won't hold the things of God. That won't hold this. It's going to take something else other than my sitting at the feet of the great masters and me having an education and being called Pharisee of the Pharisee and having religion. And religion is not the vessel, folks. That's not the vessel. Just simply giving yourself over to some tradition isn't the vessel. But Paul was being made. He said, we are troubled on every side, and yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted. Why was Paul persecuted? Why was he driven? Why was everything he'd done a battle? Here Paul's going along and things are good, and God had ascended his mind and things had happened, and then Paul gets a thorn in his flesh and he goes, and no doubt he had his prayers answered before he knew how to get a hold of God. And he went before the Lord and he prayed, and he prayed three times. I think he prayed earnestly and strongly, and in his heart, he was praying for that, because his understanding of his mind was that if I could get rid of this thorn in the flesh, I'll run faster, harder, and I'll accomplish more for God if I had this thorn out there. Right? What benefit does a flat tire do you on the way to camp meeting? Lord, help me not to have a flat tire. I'll get there quicker. I'll do better. But that's not the way the Lord looks at it. Can I express a little of my ministry? I've done it a while. And I felt some inspiration from the Lord, I feel like. But the times that the Lord wanted something more than I had, he put me in the place that I needed, had to do it. And then he brought something on that I couldn't do it. And yet the Lord said, do it. And I said, Lord, I can't do it. And the Lord said, do it. There was one time particular. We had folks at home, two different people happened to be, I say happened, but two different peoples, man and his wife and child and another guy and them, they happened to be saying that we're coming to your service on this particular day. Called and said, we're coming. Never been there before. We was actually out here and going back for that duty, and one of my children got sick. At the time, there was three different strains of flu going around Guthrie. I believe my child got all three strains. She was having seizure convulsions on the way home. She was actually going into seizures from high fever. We was praying desperately. We pulled over beside the road, asked for prayer. We was praying. We was, if I may say, we were scared. Okay? It was a trying, trying time. But the Lord helped us through it and helped us through it. But we got home for this duty, and she was still doing it. She was still sick, and I had no mind. I had, you ever been there? I had no mind. And no mind left. I couldn't do it. So in the haste of my mind, knowing these people were there for a service, and I don't have a service, and I can't get one. My mind is gone. I can't get into it. This was too heavy. It was too much burden. So I said, I know what I'll do. I'll call Brother Clint. He'll come. The Lord said no. Then I said, Brother Tony's in Kentucky. He come up. The Lord said, no. Lord, no, you. I never had nothing. But I went to service. And I was like, Lord, what a disaster in the wake here. This is going to be terrible. It was terrible until I got in front of the pulpit. Hallelujah. And said, pray for me. And it came so hard and so fast with so much anointing that I knew that God was saying, Marty, get out of my way. I want to perform through an earthen vessel. And this is the only way that I can get this vessel to this point to be able to produce the kind of treasure. I want to work with you in this sense. Brother Ivan and I went, and tell you, for years we went up to Wisconsin and had a tent meeting up there. One Sunday morning, I'm not saying this was me, it wasn't me at all, but my son got sick on a Sunday morning. I felt the burden of the message, and I was doing the same thing. My heart was back at the sick son with the fever, and I got there, and I was out in this, and the message that I preached that day went for years. And I had nothing to do. It came hard, it came fast, and I realized that the Lord was really getting me into the place. Folks, this is what the Lord is doing here in this situation. There is treasure in the earthen vessels. God is trying to make this earthen vessel out of us. And this is what God wants to work with us. And sometimes we shudder against the pain. We shudder against the difficulty. I shudder against the things there. Do you know how many times the Lord wants to do something? He wants to give a monument. He wants to give us something in here. It's a treasure. And as the world looks on it, don't expect the world to look on it and run to our personality or to our, that's not what they're supposed to be looking for. It's the treasure. It's the man that ties this old man's shoe. It's the spirit of what's inside us that we can demonstrate that we really love you. We really do. And it's not a facade. We care. That's what's produced inside this. There's another scripture in Hebrews 11. Maybe I'll go ahead and get it. Could I just poke it? Hebrews 11 and 23 says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of the parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing, if I may say in the spirit of my meeting, message, choosing rather to be an earthen vessel. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Here it is again. Here is this moving of God. The suffering affliction. Here is the heartache. Here is the trouble. Here is the pressing. Here's the squeeze. Moses, I'm going to make iron in you. I've chosen you for this, but you're not a vessel. I didn't take you right out of Egypt and do something with you. It's going to take me about 40 years working on you. I'm going to have to do something working with you. I'm going to have to make steel out of you. I'm going to work with you. He said, he chose, instead of the pomp and the show and the glitter and the gold and all the prestige and all that, he turned that down. I see a more value in something else. I see the value in being an earthen vessel. I see the value in humbling myself this and letting God work in my life. So I would call Moses an earthen vessel. By faith, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt. Here we go. Here we go. Now, where is the valuable things of God? Where is this treasure going to be taken care of? Where is it going to be what it's supposed to be? It's going to be in this vessel that refused the glitter and gold and esteemed the riches of Christ more or greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So here was a quality that Moses demonstrated, and right, you'll almost always see in the connection with that earthen vessel, you'll see the words suffering and reproach and being despised and rejected. And all of that you see right there in that earthen vessel, you'll see to create it, to make it what it's supposed to be. You'll see the work of God to create something that God can hold the valuable things in. There have been many that took off on this place that had the riches in there. But they swapped it for the silver vessels. They started swapping that for the silver vessels, and in time, well, I know Brother Ivan knows, most people know the process of vinegar, but if you take grape juice and you leave it alone, it'll ferment. And if you leave it alone in the open, it'll turn to vinegar. The vinegar spores will end up in there, and it will start turning the sugar goes to alcohol, the alcohol goes to acid, and that's how you get vinegar. And people that make wines is very acute to this. You have to keep that vessel clean. You have to keep it away from everything that it was used before. You have to defend it.
That's right.
In the right kind of a vessel, in the right kind of a place, because if you don't, it will turn on you, and it'll turn to something else than what it was intended to be. There's another scripture in, I'm not sure. Maybe it's in Luke. Let's try Luke 12. Luke 12. 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. Well, that sounds good. I better back up a little bit. 28, if then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be doubtful of mine. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth what you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have. It's time to sell. You can't keep it both. You can't have it both. You can't have the world in your hand and keep the treasure. You just can't. You may say, I love my silver pot, and I'm going to hang on to my silver pot, and I'm going to put the things of God in my silver pot. You can't keep the things of God in a silver pot. You got to keep the things of God in the earthen vessel. That's where it's going to work at. Sell that you have. Give up the silver pot. Give up the fame. Give up the ideas. Ask John the Baptist. He wasn't in the fineries. He didn't have it. He had a mind towards God. It says to give, sell that you have, give alms, provide yourself bags, which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not. Why the language? Provide yourself bags. What's a bag for? What is a bag for? I mean, it's to carry something in, right? I mean, a bag ain't much use. Just carry it around as a bag. No, I got a bag. Okay, well, you got a bag. I mean, it's got a useful purpose for it. So you need to provide yourself with a container. I think this is the language here. You need to provide yourself with the proper container. Provide yourself with a bag that don't wax old. This is going to be one that is going to endure. You're going to need something that's going to endure a while. So I think some of the times that the problem, I can't help from thinking it's a problem sometimes, that when people come and they want to give themselves to the Lord, and they give themselves to the Lord, and we all say amen, they're great, that's good, you give yourself to the Lord, but to keep the silver pot, they don't have the right vessel. They want it. Of course, who don't want to be saved? Who don't want to go to heaven? Who doesn't want the good things of God? Who don't want the blessing? Who doesn't want to be able to call on God in the night? Who don't want those? Everybody wants the good things. Everybody wants the bread and cheese. Everybody wants the blessings on there. But I think too many times it's saying, I want the things of God. I want what the people want. I want that kind of stuff. But I can't give up my life. I want my life, my idea, my ways. No. Sell it. And provide for yourself a container that will contain the things of God. It's a bag that waxes not old. But I'm going to tell you, it's made of goat skins on the outside. It's going to be something durable and lasting, but it's going to be made of humility. It's going to be made of a base, a simple thing. It's not going to shine. It's not going to have its way. It's going to be very humble. It's going to be tough as nails. It's going to be strong. It's going to be tough, but it's not going to be pretty. Can it be pretty? Not on that side. Not on that side. So we have New Testament scriptures that just alludes to things like to the sisters, and believe it pertains to everybody, but to that is that don't decorate yourself up. Don't. Now I'm telling you, this is just the word. It says not with outward adorning. And you can say, well, he meant no. He said not with outward adorning. But the inward side, the inward adorning, you're going to be beautiful on the outside. I'm going to tell you, there's nobody more beautiful than the saints. But it isn't the kind of beauty. No, it's a simple beauty. But the gold is on the inside. The gold that God wants to produce is on the inside. It's the humility, it's the patience, it's the love. It's the fruits of the Spirit that God puts in our life. And it's in an earthen vessel, folks. It is in that earthen, plain earthen pot that He wants to. And God is busy. I believe sometimes we might want to fight against it. And sometimes we don't understand it when it happens. But God does not make mistakes. And there's no time that you can say God is off on a journey, or he's asleep, or he didn't see this. In the life of a Christian, God is always watching. That's our heart. God sees this. Lord, what are you doing with this? I've said many times, I take it from the time that and how we should respond to those that attack us and those that do that. I've used this many times. When they did that to Stephen, he had a pretty strong vision of Jesus standing. There's a reason why it says Jesus was standing, because other places say he's sitting on the right hand of God making intercession for us. He wasn't sitting, he was standing. You know what that indicates? It alert. He was alert. Right. He was watching. There's nothing going to go wrong here. This is going to go as planned. He saw the Lord, and the approval of the Lord was, come on. Come on, Stephen. Your time's up too. Just like it was for John, you're an earthen vessel, and you've carried it well. You've carried it well. You preached my word in the face of danger. You love them even though they're stoning you. That vessel held the treasure. I'm going to tell you, if there had been pride there, if it had been a silver vessel, he'd have come back at those guys. He'd have never been what he was supposed to be. And the Lord worked with him and made a vessel that it would take him all the way. The treasure worked. The treasure was held secure right there in the earthen vessel. That's what God is making us, an earthen vessel. Yeah, you're human, but that ain't all this. That he wants to make it. He wants to make an earthen vessel in there that's going to have the full. I believe that Jesus is the full image of this one who came to this earth, and he did not have. A scribe came to him one time and said, "Master, I'll go with you wheresoever you go." And Jesus said, "The birds have nests, the foxes have hole, and the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." That was the end of that scripture. I think the idea is there, the guy said, "Oh, I didn't mean that." Well, maybe not, but I mean, that's kind of the thoughts that you get about it. I wasn't talking about all that. Jesus didn't try to push the outside or that. He had the gold, he had the silver, he had the valuable things in the inside. That's the perfect picture. And that picture was represented by an old tabernacle. And that tabernacle represents us as a whole, as a body of people. But it can't represent us as a body of people if it's not individual. The individual becomes the image of that tabernacle, having from the outside rough and durable, able to go through the storms, weather the storms, and still stand there and have it and shed the water and do what it's supposed to do. But inside is gold. Inside is tapestry and works of God and artwork and beauty within the inside of where God has touched his finger on our lives. This is where he touched his finger to our lives. God does things to say, "I'm God." I love this testimony, so bear with me just a little bit. My son, this is one of my favorite ones. Because my son, when he was a little boy, got a splinter up in his foot, and he got blood poisoning from it. And I remember thinking it didn't bleed, and I didn't like that. I like to see it just bleed. And it didn't. And I was a little concerned about it, but he was hurting with it. I mean, it was way in his foot, but anyway, in a few hours, that started infecting. He started doing that. And by the time I think service started, we had him prayed for. And these angry red lines started up his leg and more up his legs. And it began to be more serious and more serious. And by the time the service was over, he had went to sleep on the bench. By the time service was over, this was running up his leg. And again, we're concerned. I mean, this is my son. This is a concerning moment. And took him home, and he started getting worse and worse. And in a while, his hands turned beet red. Maybe a little lighter than beet, but it was red. And they would blew up like a balloon. He was so swollen, his hands was. This poison was going through his body. And then I prayed, and through the night, I was praying through the night. And somewhere in the middle of the night, somewhere, and he's fussing and he's rolling, and somewhere in the middle of the night, God touched me. God touched me. Peace run through me. I felt God's touch, and when it did, my son just stopped the fidgeting and just went to sleep, and I felt my hand on him, and the fever was gone, and he got the next morning, and everything else was gone. God done something, but I'm going to tell you, that is a moment that makes an earthen vessel. I was in a place I couldn't do nothing but pray to God, "Lord, have mercy on us." Pleading and begging with God. Why would a loving God do that? Because the only way for me to carry the treasure is in an earthen vessel. And he wants to create in us the earthen vessel. I suppose there is... God can do whatever he wants to, but it don't really become an earthen vessel if we don't surrender to the potter's hand. Make me an earthen vessel. You pray for me.